I had my radio coming on. I had my TV coming on. I had men walking around in my house at night. I could hear them calling for me and said, "We're going to get you." It was 90 above outside, and skittles were circling the house. I had crows pecking at my wall 3 o'clock in the morning.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land there are stories, true stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
Hi, my name is Ted Murdoch. I come from Fish River, Manitoba. I was born here, and I had praying grandparents. My grandfather, John R. Sinclair, my other grandfather, William Murdoch. These men prayed, I could say, 24 hours a day, just about. I used to remember my asking my mother, I used to ask her, "Mom, how come Musum's talking to himself all the time?" He said, "My boy, he's praying. And one of his prayers for sure was that his children, his boys, that would, which is one of my father, which is Walter Murdoch, that is, and his grandchildren come to know Christ. When I was a small boy, I experienced a lot of alcohol. In fact, I started drinking at a very early age. I remember about 14 years old, and we come from a musical family, and I learned to play the guitar at an early age, and fast. I never read notes or anything, but it was, and all my uncles on my father's side, they all played something, and so I was in a little band here at an early age, and I kept it up. It was a gift from God, but I was using it the wrong way. As a small boy, like I was saying, I seen a lot of alcohol. I took a lot of alcohol. I had a choice to make when I was quite young. Either go to school, my father said, or if you don't go to school, you got to work. And he was a commercial fisherman, both the winter fishing, the summer fishing, the fall fishing. And he was good at what he did, and he was a hard worker. Remember, he had me out in the lake as early as 12 years old. But then the time came when I didn't want to go to school anymore. I had to go to work. And I earned money, but I started drinking at a very early age. I remember I used to be able to handle my drinks before. And I used to play for parties. A time in high school, I used to even get sent home from school. They put me in a different room because I smelled like a brewery. As I went on through the early years of my drinking and partying and working and going away to work, sometimes going away for months at a time and coming back and just doing the same thing. Alcohol was getting me down. I was in bondage to alcohol. There's many times I remember that hangovers never used to bother me. I remember, and later on I started getting sick. I started getting sick, really sick. As my drinking went on, I used to start drinking sometimes, drinking on the weekend. Then I started going into days. And I started drinking weeks at a time. I remember sometimes a whole month I'd drink. But I want to remember this. I had praying grandfather and praying mother. And I could never quit drinking on my own. I remember going away to work and coming back and saying to the Lord, I told the Lord lie after lie. I said, "I'm not going to drink anymore." I find myself driving down a highway, and next thing I know, I'm sitting in a bar. I told him another lie. I'd be gone on another binge. Come back, get sick, hungover again and say I'm never going to do it again and ask the Lord for help and get me through this. He did. And sure enough, I'd be back on the bottle again. I'd go away to work, and during the summer months, I'd pray all during, because I didn't work and drink. I couldn't mix them both. I had to either do one thing, work or drink. I remember going away and just praying all through the summer and saying, Lord, help me to not to drink when I come back. But I'd sooner not saying that, just out of the blue, I'd just walk right to that bar and just start drinking. It was just as easy as that. Yeah, I was into gambling too. I'll give you a little experience of what my gambling. When the VLTs first came out here, I used to find myself sneaking out of the house 1 o'clock at night because it used to close at 2. And somehow I'd get out of the house just to take this to catch our gambling. I'd have blackouts and I'd take a plane to Las Vegas. I don't even remember how I got there. I was into gambling too. I remember in the year, 10 years ago, I went out. I worked for the tourist resort. I went out and I set a goal that summer that I was going to at least do 2 months before I had a break. I prayed all that summer. I said, Lord, I'm going to help me with my problem. Help me with my problem that I have with this drinking. My wife has had enough of me. I went out that summer. I came back on my break. My wife picked me up in Winnipeg and she says, you know, Ted, nobody ever phoned for you. Nobody ever asked about you this summer. We were sitting on the couch and no longer the phone rang. Somebody rang, Ted, I heard you were coming home. I'm coming over to give you a drink. I said, no, I'm not going to have a drink. Not long after, even during the night, I get calls from different parts of the country and people wanting to come and drink with me. I said, no. It was that summer when I was on my little break there, my wife said, I'm going to go with my sister and our little boy to San Diego for a trip. We had just had gotten a new car and they were going to drive. And I said, well, I'll be around here for a couple more days and have a good trip. I'm going to go back up north in a couple of days. No sooner left the house, there was a knock at the door. Somebody walked in with liquor. No longer I had it in my hand, and I was gone. I was on another binge. Remember drinking all that week. I drank that week and drank to a point where I'd wake up during the night, pass out on the couch, seeing all these people drinking there and wondering, how did they ever get here in a house full of booze and stinking and cigarettes and everything around there? Got a call from my boss. He says, aren't you going to come back? And I said, no. And he says, why? Because I'm drinking. Well, he says, you could pretty well say he fired me. The way it sounded, or come back when you smarten up, if you ever smarten up. I've always told you, Ted, you could be replaced. So I never thought nothing of that. I'm drinking. I was in my glory, so-called glory. Anyways, I kept on drinking, and finally I was getting so sick of it, and I said, no, that's enough. My wife is already coming home from her 3-week trip. So the boys cleared out and I sobered up. Various things start happening to me in the house. I remember crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me change this life. I was hungover, I was sick, I was puking, I was sweating. I couldn't sleep. I was rolling around in the bed. I was walking the floors, walking outside, and oh, such a lonely, dreary, dreary life. I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I just need you. Find a way to get me out of this mess. I happened to have some cousins, like certain cousins that I have, that they were in a church meeting. And then they invited me to go down. That was in like in a couple of days. And Satan knew that I was gonna, must have knew I was gonna change my life. And boy, he sent everything into my house. I had my radio coming on. I had my TV coming on. I had men walking around in my house at night. I could hear them calling for me and said, we're going to get you. I had skidoos circling around the house. It was 90 above outside. And skidoos were circling the house. I had crows pecking at my wall 3 o'clock in the morning. I remember in my room, I was praying hard. How comfortable was in that room, but there was something outside there. I remember walking I would need to use the bathroom. I remember walking out of that room, and it was just ice cold. Oh, it was just really ice cold walking out of that room. And I got back into my bedroom and I prayed more for the Lord. You wouldn't know how the feeling is, but if someone's out there listening to me now, you know, I hope this reaches you. That God took me through this time, through this time, but he was with me all the time. He was not going to let me go because I cried out to him. I remember going to a certain town that we had to go to. I remember the radio coming on, and you could tell there was a battle over my soul. The radio was coming on where the ugly music would come on, and then just like there was a silence, and then beautiful music would come on, the hymns. I could hear my Auntie Ellen singing. You could tell there was a real battle. I remember pulling into the yard that evening and just seeing these objects out in the field, in the bush, and just yelling to me, Ted, we're not through yet. We're going to come and get you. You're ours. Not knowing that the fear was always, the fear was there because I hadn't yet accepted the Lord. That's what you have to do out there, people that are out there. You've got to accept Jesus Christ. He has dominion over all this evil. He's the only one. I remember these demons. I remember these walking into the house. And I remember going out the back door and wondering if they're still out. Sure enough, they were there. And just people swearing and telling me to come and drink. But it wasn't real people. It was something else. My radio was coming on. My wife didn't know what was going on with me. I remember the night before I went accepted the Lord for sure when I went down to that. It was a tent meeting. And I remember it was hit so hard. The fear was struck into me so hard that these images were coming out of the walls, and just, oh, the most fearful thing. Remember them coming on into my mirror while I was trying to wash up. So I was going crazy. I'd go outside and outside I could hear the flames. I could hear the screams. I could hear the cows. I could hear the dogs. I could hear men screaming, women screaming. I could hear the flames. I could even smell the stench of death. Stench that you can't comprehend. You can't even imagine how it smells. You know, but knowing that the assurance was there that Jesus Christ was with me and is still with me. He was there, but he showed me that to open my eyes, and he opened my eyes. I remember even getting attacked while on the way to the tent meeting, traveling with a Christian cousin of mine, walking into his house. He went for a fast shower. I was sweating and all that, and asked me having anything cool to drink. I remember taking a sip out of that. He was in the shower and taking a sip out of that glass. And that glass, out of that glass came pure whiskey. This whiskey. And I said, something is wrong here. Just before that, my family had taken off because they were so scared of me. They were scared. They thought I was going crazy. In my mind, I was thinking of suicide. I was thinking of that river. We have a river by my place. I was going to go and drown myself because that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants to strike fear into you. He'll take everybody, you know, men, women, children, anyway. You know, I accepted the Lord that night and he cleansed me. I knew when I accepted the Lord, I knew I was saved. I just knew something else was really different that night. That night on, 94, August 18th, that evening, there was an altar call where there's a couple of buddies of mine that also went, but I went. I felt a release, just like I was traveling on a cloud, just like I was light-footed, and came home. Some Christian men came home with me. We sang a few songs. We prayed, gave everybody a bed. Me and my wife took a bed to the east, and one of my son Dustin's bed, that's right, and he slept on the floor. And that night, as I was going to bed, we shut the lights off, said goodnight, and I said, Nora, do you hear that? And I said, why? They don't hear nothing. I said, somebody's clanging beer bottles outside our window here. My wife couldn't hear it. I'm the only one that could hear it. This demon, or demons were outside, clanging beer bottles in my window. I always think of my wife when she says, Ted, all we have to do is just pray. We'll just pray. We both prayed together. And again, I felt another release. It's like I was totally released. And that's the last time I ever heard. I was in God's hands. That's the last time I've ever heard something fearful. You know, God showed me. God dealt with me. He showed me that's where I was heading. I was right at the gates, but he was there. He was there with me. You know, this walk that I have, it's not an easy walk. When I became a Christian, I said, Lord, lead me to a church a Bible-believing church, to learn the Bible more. And that's where he led me. You know, like I said, the walk's not easy. But I asked the Lord, even today, walk me, get me through this day. Get me through this day, Lord. Like it says in the Bible, tomorrow will worry about itself. I have my struggles. I have different attacks. But, you know, the Lord gives you, he shows you who the attacks are from. And you know, it's Satan. The line of work that I have, I see liquor every day. I just have to be committed to the Lord. I can know I'm way up north. I can't say, I'll sneak this, I'll sneak that. Who am I fooling? I may be able to fool my wife, I might be able to fool my friend, but I can't fool God. That's how I look at it. I cannot fool God. And what he's taken me out of, what he's taken me from, alcohol. When he took the drink away from me, the liquor away from me, he took also the gambling. But I just thank the Lord for that. I have a son that reminds me sometimes. I always ask him, Dustin, do you remember when I used to drink? He said, I remember a little bit. He said, Dad, I'm glad that you don't drink. I'm happy you don't drink. And I want to walk with the Lord all my life till He comes. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice before. You know, you take great men in the Old Testament used to sacrifice thousands of animals at that one time. But God had a different plan. He said, I have a different plan, a much easier plan, a real easier plan. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send my son to die. And that's what he did. You know, he came down that as if the little baby. I often think of that where he was born. He wasn't born in a big palace. He was born in a manger amongst the cattle and all that. As a very, very humble child. He came down and he lived on this earth and roamed this earth and he died for our sins. You could come to the Lord wherever you are. You'll come to the Lord whether you're in that little room. The Lord says to go into the pantry, which means a little room, and go and pray. You could ask the Lord to come into your life while you're driving a car, while you're fishing, while you're hunting, any place. He made it so simple. Ask Him to come into your heart and ask Him to forgive your sins. That's why He went to the cross, is to die for your sins. You know, He wants you. He's knocking at your door. Like you say, I knock, I stand. Hey, I stand and knock at the door. And He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to accept. And then you have to have that trust in Him. You got to trust Him fully. You got to have faith in Him and say, Lord, come into my life. I accept you.
Have you done that? Have you come to Jesus Christ and received Him as your Savior? If not, why not today? My friend, what God did in Ted's life, He can do for you if you will simply humble yourself and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Ted's story first aired in June of 2004. 2 months later, he went home to be with Jesus. But his story reminds us today of God's saving and transforming power. We read in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come." That describes Ted, and we hope it's also true of you. Trust in Jesus. There's no other way. For God has said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you would like to know more, please visit our website withoutreservation.com and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. You can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Want to take The Storyteller with you? Be sure to download our app. Thanks for listening, and remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.